Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. I'm sharing on the subject of parenthood 101. I'm giving some basic things and an overview of raising and rearing, but mainly training children. And I want to encourage you again, as I did last week, to open your heart and to receive of the good word of God. Because many times if you share on a subject like this, people who do not have children will sit there and not open their heart and receive. They've looked around them and seen other people with children, so they don't want none. And so things of that nature come into their heart and their minds, and they miss out on some tremendous truths and principles of the kingdom. For instance, you can't sit there if I begin to teach on healing and say to yourself, well, I don't need this, I'm not sick. No, you need the principles and you need to know what God's Word says about healing, whether you're sick or not. Or you take finances, for instance. I can't share on finances and you sit there and think, well, I don't need this, I've got a good job. It doesn't matter what your status is, you need to know God's Word and what He has to say about finances and prosperity and stewardship and things of that nature. You may be sitting there and doing fine today and you have a heart free from guilt and shame, and I begin to minister on no condemnation and freedom from condemnation. You may say in your heart, well, I don't need this. This doesn't apply to me today. Can I get a witness whether it applies to you today or not? You need to know what God's Word says about guilt, shame, forgiveness, and things of that nature. And I could just go on and go on with illustrations of how I may share on something that doesn't apply directly to your life at this point, but all of the Word of God applies to us indirectly, and God can speak to us. I can be talking about child training and you not have a child, and suddenly a revelation come that changes your life. So please pay attention, because you also may be one of those people who have no children, but 5 years from now, the state legislation could begin to pass some laws that affect parents and child rearing and child training, and your vote needs to be an informative vote, and you need to know what the Word says so that you can cast a informative vote and be a blessing to people who do have kids, even if you don't have children. So everyone needs to receive. So open your heart and hear what the Spirit is saying to us, and let the Word speak to you. Proverbs chapter 22, again, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Last week, I encouraged you in the difference and shared on the difference between training, teaching, and raising a child. Many of you have raised a child, and that child is 50 years old, and you're still raising that child. And you're going to be raising your child forever if you didn't train your child in the way he should go. If you didn't teach them and train them in the things of the kingdom, you're going to be paying their electric bill for the rest of your life. You're going to be bailing them out of problems the rest of their lives. And unfortunately, you're going to be a party to something that is unique to this generation. It's the first generation in the history of mankind that grandparents are now having to raise children because of an entire generation of parents that were delinquent. And it's important that we all get a hold of this and that we turn this tide and know what God's Word says about training. The word train means to mold the character of, to mold the character of, to instruct by drill, to make obedient. You mean you can make your child obedient? Yeah, when they're a child. Yeah, when they're young. If you wait till 13 to start to kick in discipline and obedience and some of the principles I'm talking about, you've waited way too late and you're going to have a dogfight on your hand. And I can still help you and God can still help you, but it's a hard row to hoe if you haven't trained them while they're little and while they're young. And while they're young, from 2 to 5 especially, the most formative years of a child, intense training needs to be going on to enforce obedience by drill over and over and over again. The word train means to point in an exact direction. Exact direction. I shared with you last week, there's no perfect children. There's no perfect parents. We have children that need trained. I don't care what your gene pool is. I don't care how holy you are. I don't care how good you think you are. You brought a demon, a monster into this world. Some of you aren't laughing. I was joking. And all of them need pointed in an exact direction. No child on his own is going to go in an exact direction. They're going to zigzag. And if we don't teach and train them and rein them in, then they're going to be undisciplined in every area of adulthood if we haven't disciplined them in childhood, and that's going to create great pain for them. So again, many of you, you've made mistakes, you didn't take heed, you didn't go to a good church, or you haven't really read the Bible, and you made some mistakes. God is forgiving, God is merciful, and so you need to be forgiven. You don't need to be condemned, but you need to give me the liberty to teach this stuff now without condemning you, to save some of these young couples and some of our friends that have little children who need taught how to train that child in the way he should go, so that when he is old, he will not depart from it. If you messed up, just fess up. Repent to God. Repent to your children. God's forgiving. God's merciful. Raising kids is tough. I've worked at this as hard as anything in my life, and I've made mistakes. I've had to repent. I've had to repent to my children. If your children are grown and you didn't do it right, apologize to them. Ask them to forgive you. It'll make a big difference in their lives. I know that when I've messed up with my children, it has changed their life for me to just stop and say, look, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I mishandled you just then. I misspoke. I was angry. I lost my cool, and that isn't right. And I teach other people better than that, and so I need to live better than that. Please forgive me. It means so much to your children for you to humble yourself and just admit, I made a mistake. I messed up. But you teach them a lot, and you train them a lot in repenting. And if they see you repent, I promise you, it gets easier for them to repent as well. And that's a part of a successful life. Amen. God's forgiven you. I just pray. I just remit all your past. I remit all your sins. And you're free. Can he do that? I just did. Can he really do that? I just did. You need to receive forgiveness from God. You need to apologize to your children. Put that behind you. Be better grandparents. That's what grandkids are for. It's a second chance to get it right. And now help us and the younger people get it right. Amen? Amen. All right, let's talk about now training up a child. Go to Ephesians, the New Testament, chapter 6. And let me share something with you the Lord taught me years ago that I've never heard taught. There's not a lot of teaching, unfortunately, in the body of Christ on training children, raising and rearing children. If you do find some good teaching, and there's some out there, there is a principle here that God taught me years ago that I just don't hear, and yet it's so important in training up a child. And I want to share that with you because Sue and I are forever grateful to God for this one principle. And let me share it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, most people, if they teach on child training, most books, if you read some good books, they'll teach verses 1, 2, and 3. But I promise you, if you'll reflect for a moment, you've probably been to church most of your life and never heard a preacher preach and teach verse 4. And verse 4 is so important to raising children, so important to training children. The verse that you're reading now, instead of paying attention to what I'm saying and waiting on me to read it, is very, very important. And we got to understand this verse, because if we don't get verse 4, I can teach you a lot of different things, but you're not going to apply it properly. And so look at verse 4 with me now. Verse 4 says, and. Everybody say and. And is a conjunction junction. It adds two subjects. It adds two points together. You can't talk about children obeying their parents and honoring their parents and leave the and out. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We need to learn how not to provoke our children to wrath. Now I want you to listen to me carefully. I'm going to challenge your thinking. This is not open for debate. I believe the Lord has told me this. I believe I have discerned this properly. We have an entire generation that is out there that is full of wrath. Yes. They're full of anger. Yes. They're angry at their parents. They're angry at society. They're angry at the system. They're angry at authority. They are filled with anger, resentment, rebellion, and they blame everybody and everything for the mess that they're in. And they're angry. The music today, the movies today, the activities that young people are participating in. And I want you to listen to me very carefully now. I'm not saying the things I'm about to say to be critical. I have to know what's going on in my world to speak into it. And I have to say things that apply to today. I can't teach you how to change a wagon wheel and you keep coming back. Most churches, if you go to most churches, they'll teach you how to change a wagon wheel. What do I mean? They'll talk about things that aren't relevant. They'll talk about things that do not apply and do not make a difference in your life. And that's a good place for some of you to go because you're never convicted. If you come here, I'm going to talk about life. I'm going to talk about the kingdom. I'm going to talk about relevant issues. The music today in young people's lives is filled with anger, filled with bitterness. Rap music is one of the most awful things that has ever come upon this planet. It's not only bad music. It's just bad music. That's how you become a rapper. You can't sing. The words are filled with hate, abuse to women, abuse and killing of cops, self-mutilation, anger, resentment. The movies are filled with violence. Why? We have a generation that is angry. They've been provoked to wrath. There's never been a generation like this generation as a whole that is angry like these people today are angry. This generation is angry. I submit to you, children are children. Children have always been children. There's nothing unique about children born in this hour. What's unique is we had a generation of the 60s that provoked their children to wrath, and now we're reaping the consequences of an out-of-control culture. Kids know no boundaries. Kids know no right or wrong. They don't know consequences. They don't understand sowing and reaping. They weren't disciplined, or they were disciplined wrong, and they're filled with hatred. Secondly, one of the things that marks this culture that I've already made reference to, there's never been a generation with more grandparents having to raise grandkids than today. I'm not putting people down. I'm not trying to be mean about that. I'm trying to get us to step back for a minute and look and go, we have a problem. We have a problem. And the problem is we have provoked a generation to anger, and we've got to repent, which means change our mind. We've got to get back to whatever was working and quit doing whatever isn't working. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing the same way, expecting different results. And today, man in his wisdom has become a fool, and he thinks he knows how to raise kids better than God. And God knows how to raise kids. God knows how to train kids. And God hadn't left us without a blueprint as parents on how to raise and rear our children, how to train our children. We've got to get back to God, and we've got to get back to some simple principles in the kingdom of God. Now, the word nurture, he said to, in verse 4, provoke not your children to wrath, I'll come back to that, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word nurture means disciplinary correction. Disciplinary correction means training in the Greek, chastening, chastisement, and instruction. If we do not nurture our children, what does that mean? Discipline them, train them, instruct them, then we're going to provoke them to wrath. Number two, admonition. Admonition. Admonition in the Greek means mild rebuke. Mild rebuke or warnings. As a parent, you're supposed to be mildly rebuking and warning your children of the consequences of disobedience and dishonor. Disobedience and dishonor. If we don't do that, we'll provoke them to wrath. Now, let me give you six things that God has taught me, and I don't think you're going to find these in a book anywhere. And yet I know God taught me this, and I know that it works. Number one, how do we provoke our children to wrath? What are some things that provoke our children to wrath? Number one, no discipline at all. No discipline at all will provoke your children to wrath. See, children have to have boundaries. They got to know what the boundaries are. They got to know what happens when you cross the boundaries. If you do not discipline your child, then that child is going to grow into adulthood with no discipline. They won't understand boundaries unless they're taught boundaries. They won't understand consequences unless they're taught and made held accountable. There's a unique word in our culture. Everybody say accountable. If they're not held accountable as a child, what makes you think they're just going to grow up one day and be accountable? If they don't know how to have self-control and boundaries as a child, why do you think they're going to have self-control and boundaries as an adult? Can I get a witness that boundaries and understanding boundaries and living within boundaries is part of what makes you functional and successful? Amen. There's boundaries in life. And when you cross those boundaries, you self-destruct. There's boundaries in marriage. There's certain boundaries. And if you get outside those boundaries in marriage, your marriage is going to collapse. There's boundaries in the workplace. And if you don't know how to function within boundaries, you can't keep a job. There's boundaries at church. Why are we functional here today if we are? And sometimes I question that by the response I get. I really wonder sometimes, are you listening? Are you really here? Is there anybody out there? It's like I see dead people. Some of the responses I get, I just wonder, were you really there? Boundaries. We're going to have a good service if we have one because you understand boundaries. How many of you know you can't jump right up in the middle of the service and start cussing me and screaming and hollering and have a demonic fit and we get anything done? You can get mad at me. You can be upset. You can disagree about something. But because you understand boundaries, you know that's unacceptable behavior, and you have self-control. And you're going to sit there and work your way through it, and then you're going to pray, and then God's going to show you I was right, then you're going to repent, and then you're going to send me some money and bless me. It amazes me at adults that do not understand boundaries. They weren't taught. They weren't trained. How many of you know that the card that is in the seat in front of you has a purpose? And the back of that card and filling it out has a purpose. One of the reasons I wonder, are we getting anything I'm saying? Are we listening and receiving from God? Do we really come to hear the Spirit of the Lord and to get in the Word of God and work on our lives? Because church here is not a place of perfect people. It's a place of instruction. It's a place where people are getting help, I think, I thought. Amen? Are you here to get help? I'm here to get help. I'm here to help you. And yet, some of the responses I get, I got a response to prove my point. And if you're here, I love you. I don't know who you are. You didn't sign it. You were a coward. You sent me a card, and you didn't sign it. So you're a coward, but I don't know who you are. So please don't get angry at me. I'm not calling your name. I'm trying to give an example of how people have to learn boundaries and rules and how to function. The card on the back of the chair and filling that card out, can I get a witness that I told you specifically that the purpose of the back of that card is to write a prayer request? And because I love you and I care about you and your family, I'm going to sanctify time and I'm going to pray for you. So if you have a need and you want me to pray for you, you're to fill that card out. The back of that card is not for you to rebuke me. It's not for you to send notes to me and straighten me out and all of those kind of things. I got a letter by an article by a misguided person on how preachers should not hunt and how hunting is wrong. And on the back of the card that you're supposed to ask for a prayer request, the person said, "Would you please quit bragging about murdering animals?" Now, saints, we have a problem. We need some help. People are... What kind of life must you have if you're still here? I don't know who you are. I'm not trying to run you off. I'm trying to make a point about how we're messed up and we're mixed up. Do you realize that person is going to go to heaven, hopefully, and in their mind, God won't be there because of all the animals he murdered? He murdered hundreds of thousands of bullocks. He murdered hundreds of thousands of goats. He murdered hundreds of thousands of little lambs. He murdered doves. The symbol of peace. If God was to be made flesh today, I'm convinced he'd carry a shotgun and shoot a dove, blow it clean out of the sky. Kill it. I'm not murdering any animals. What happened to your mind? Who got a hold of your mind? What church have you been going to? What book have you been reading? You can't put animal life on the same level of human life. And somebody who shoots an animal and eats it is not murdering. Now, I'm going to humble myself. Please don't get up while I'm trying to explain this. This would be a bad time to get up and walk out. I'm going to receive instruction from it. My youngest daughter and I are going hunting, and we have prayed for God to send us a big buck. We're going to murder it, and then I'm not going to brag about how big it was, okay? I'll quit bragging about it. My point is, if we are that messed up over an issue like that, wonder how messed up we are on raising kids. Wonder how messed up we are on how to have a good marriage. Wonder how many other things the world has told us. And psychobabble in the world has gotten into our heads. And we haven't read the Bible. And we're all upset over nothing. Do you know that same kind of person will go nuts about smoking a cigarette? And they'll go crazy about smoking a cigarette and jumping on people for smoking a cigarette. But there are 18 specific scriptures in the book of Proverbs alone, 18 on how to discipline your child, on the rod, on correction, on chastising your child, and I'll present all 18 of those scriptures, and that same person will be upset at me because I hit a child or I abused a child. We have got to humble ourselves, saints, and we've got to get in the Word of God, and we've got to get our minds renewed to what the Word says, not what the world says. Amen. Now, I want you to pray for me, because this week I am going to shed innocent blood. I'm going to kill it, I'm going to clean it, and I'm going to eat it. I'm going to eat it. It's going to be good. Go to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13. How do we provoke our children to anger? Number one, we don't discipline them at all. That'll provoke them to anger. Why will it provoke them to anger? Because they'll be raised dysfunctional, and they won't be able to keep a job, and they're going to blame you. And they're going to go to jail because they can't keep the law, and they're going to blame you. And they're going to grow marijuana, because why obey the laws of the land when they haven't obeyed you? And we all know you can make more money selling marijuana than you can preaching. Isn't that right? Come on now, don't look at me like that. If we don't teach them to obey us, why do we expect them to obey teachers? If we don't teach them to obey us, why do we expect them to obey the law? If we don't teach them respect and honor early in life, why would they respect other authorities if they haven't been taught and trained to respect their parents and their siblings? I'm telling you, there's a lot of anger out there because people aren't succeeding and they don't know why, and they're mad at their parents, they're mad at society, they're mad at the system. And the problem is they have no self-control, they haven't been taught boundaries, they haven't been disciplined, and so they can't make it. And so they're angry. So if you don't discipline them, you will provoke them to anger. Number two, if you discipline them in anger, you will provoke them to anger. You cannot discipline a child in anger. Some of you have gone to church just long enough to know discipline, the rod, some of the things I'm going to share, but you do abuse your children. I'm not condemning you, but you are to never spank a child. You're never to discipline a child in anger. In James, the book of James, chapter 1, it says, "The wrath of man works not the righteousness of God." You cannot use anger to work righteousness in your children. And yet many of us, especially dads, we think, boy, the louder we scream, the madder we get, the more we're going to get results out of our kids, and it provokes them to anger. So I'm going to teach you to never discipline your child in anger. Never spank a child in anger. That's child abuse. Never invoke discipline of any kind in anger. That is not godly. That is not right. Number three, discipline out of mood swings. It'll provoke them to anger. Disciplining them out of mood swings. I don't expect an amen on this, but most of us have been guilty of this. When we're in a bad mood, the hammer falls. When we're in a good mood, they get away with murder. Children are not stupid. Okay, that's not enough amens. Your children are not stupid. Okay, that's better. I thought, man, I'm going to have to teach you that now. They're not stupid. It doesn't take them long to figure out, wait a minute, I only get in trouble when my dad or my mom's mad. When they're in a good mood, I don't get in trouble. And that provokes them to anger because they never know if they're going to get in trouble, because it's not about honor and obedience anymore. It's about what kind of mood you're in, and that'll provoke them to anger. Don't do that. If you've done that, repent of that. Don't do that anymore. Don't discipline them out of mood swings. Number four, neglect. If you neglect your children, it'll provoke them to anger. One of the problems we have in the culture is we're busy. It's like everything's going pretty fast, amen? And we're all living at breakneck speed. It's almost like the world is in a hurry to get to hell. Did you know it? I mean, everything, pew, 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 pew. We put in 12, 14-hour days. A lot of men who are the sole income of a family, the wife will be at home, the guy will work 12, 14 hours a day, and mama says to the kids all day long, "When your daddy gets home, when your daddy gets home, when your daddy gets home." Boy, you're going to pay when your daddy gets home. And so the dad comes home, he's had a long day, a hard day's work, and now his first encounter with his children for that day is over discipline. I know that soon I've had to work this out with me traveling, and I don't want to have to discipline the children when I first get home. I don't want things to build up, and daddy just represents I'm in trouble. Seeing daddy means I'm in trouble all the time. I realize I can make a lot of comments on working that out, and it's a two-way street. Sometimes mamas go through that. I'm not saying it's just daddies, single parents, that kind of thing. But you have to be careful to make sure that you do more than just discipline your children. You'll provoke them to anger. Remember, rules without relationship equals rebellion. Rules without relationship equals rebellion. You can't just keep putting rules down and discipline. Put rules down, discipline. You'll drive your children away from you. You have to have a relationship with your children. Do fun things. Do things they have an interest in. Get involved in their life and be there more than just discipline. Neglect and then trying to discipline will provoke them to anger. Let me give you two things to discipline your children over. This blows people's mind, and this is so simple. God didn't make this hard. We just haven't read the Bible. It's real simple. You discipline over two things, honor and obedience. So dishonor and disobedience. You discipline your children over disrespect. Honor your mother and your father. Honor. So between the ages of 2 to 5 are their most formative years, and you teach them respect. You don't speak to your mother like that. You don't speak to me like that. There's discipline for dishonor. You don't speak to your brothers and sisters like that. You can't bite them. That's dishonoring them. You know they got to be fixed on that because they bite people on the workplace. They're going to lose their job and be sued. All right? So honor, 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 respect. You teach them from 2 to 5 to respect you, honor you. It's amazing how their whole life gets easier and easier and easier. From 5 to 10, you usually slack up a little bit on the discipline. And if you'll do it right, I promise you, by the time they hit 11, 12, and especially 13, you don't have to go through all this crazy stuff that most people expect and believe God for in their teenagers if you've been training. Now, I realize some of you don't fall into that category. You just come to church here today for the first time, got saved yesterday, your kids are 15 years old, and if you start spanking them now, you're in trouble. They'll take the board away from you and beat you, amen? You can't. So you've got to get some help and some wisdom here. I'm talking about the perfect picture and how it's supposed to start. 2 to 5, we're disciplining these children. And what are we disciplining them for? Listen, we're not spanking them for spilling the milk. Don't spank your child for spilling the milk. Don't spank your child for being forgetful. They're kids. They forget things. Don't spank them for doing dumb things. You do dumb things. Don't spank them for wetting the bed. You only spank them or discipline for two things. Dishonor. You got to honor me. Honor me. Honor me. Honor me. Honor your mama. Your mama brought you in, but I can take you out. Don't talk to your mama that way. You're going to get disciplined. They learn to talk to the mama right. They'll learn to talk to the boss right. They'll learn to get along with employees right. They'll learn to go to school and honor the teacher. But they won't get it in school, and they won't get it out in the workplace. They won't get it in jail even. That's right. They won't get it in jail because there's rules in jail too. Even if your kid goes to jail, you've got to keep the rules. He's going to be told when to poop, when to pee, when to get up, when to go to bed, when to eat, what to eat. So he's got to get this. I want him to be happy in jail. Come on. It's the truth. So honor your mama. Honor your mama. Obey, obey, obey. You don't discipline them for forgetfulness. Don't give them 50 rules. You can't keep 50 rules. Don't torment your kid with 1,000 rules. 2 rules. Obey, honor. And I'll teach you even in the act of discipline how to enforce those 2 issues. And this is simple. And God will bless us. So, neglect. Number 5, too harsh in the discipline. If you're too harsh in the discipline, I've had to repent to my children for this. I've been embarrassed before. Here I pastor a great church. Here I deal with life or death issues. Here I deal with million-dollar budgets. Here I deal with some of the most bizarre things in the world. I'm patient, calm, cool, and collected. And a 13-year-old girl pushes me off the cliff. And you lose it. 4 hours of going around this bush, and you just finally blow up. Thank God for the Holy Spirit, and thank God for the power of, hey, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I was out of order. Forgive me. You don't know the power of looking at your kids and saying, I was wrong. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I was wrong. I was too harsh. I was mean. I was mad. I was wrong. Would you forgive me for that? I said, would you forgive me for that? The classic, when you know they're getting it, is, sure, Dad, will you forgive me? Before or after the spanking? I want to know the rules. Okay, that was good. Too harsh. A lot of times it's usually Dad, we're a little too harsh. Mom's a little too soft. There's exceptions to the rule. Sue and I are the exception to that rule at times. There's been times in our marriage and dealing with our kids, I thought Sue was too hard and I was too soft. She thought I was too hard and she was too soft. The perfect scenario is for you to love your wife and your kids, go to the bedroom. You never let them see you disagree. You never let them figure out who to play against who, because they are smart and they will learn where mama is soft and how to play mama against daddy, and where daddy's soft and how to play daddy against mama. But if mom and daddy get together in the bedroom and negotiate, come to an agreement. It's not a matter of who's right, me or Sue. That's not an issue with Sue and I and discipline or any other issue. I'm always right. That is not the issue. The issue is, what can we agree on? What can we get in agreement and speak as one to our children? And here is the discipline. Because they will play you against one another. They are smart. They will make you miserable. Some of you will get up if you don't listen to me, and you will literally begin to pull your hair out. If you don't train them, if you don't learn some of these basic principles, you'll be screaming at God wanting to know what you did in a previous life to deserve such punishment on this earth. That's what kids can do to you if you don't get the wisdom of God. God didn't will for them to torment you like that. God willed for you to raise, rear, and train them so you don't have to lose your mind before they leave the house. Number six, what will provoke them to anger? Holding grudges. Holding grudges. It's amazing how many people will be upset at me, will not come back, will email me, and will talk about some of the things I'm saying, and I just can't believe you would spank a child. I can't believe you would punish your child like that. I'll deal with the difference between punishment and correction. I've never punished my children, but I do correct them. But that same person, because of frustration, and that same person, because of a lack of discipline in their home, will blow up on their kids, will say things to their kids that are damaging, will cuss their kids. And I'm not talking about cuss like cussing. I won't give you any examples of that. Everybody know what I'm talking about? Cussing. I'm not talking about cussing them. I'm talking about speaking curses over them. I'm talking about you're never going to amount to a hill of beans. I'm talking about you never get it right. You do this all the time. Just horrible things, not realizing that the power of your tongue and the damage words can do to a child for the rest of his life is not to be compared to one or two swats on their butt. I guarantee you a rod, a board on their butt will not hurt them anything like words spoken over them and you holding a grudge over. You being mad at them for a week. You won't spank them, but you'll pout for a week. You won't talk to them. You'll be cold. You'll punish them, see, with a lack of love. You'll withdraw your love from them to discipline them. And that damages them. That's not biblical. That's not good. That's not right. And I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings now. I'm trying to help you. And I think if we get honest, we all know what I'm talking about. I bet there's wives in here that when you do something wrong, your husband and you don't work it out. He pouts for 2 or 3 days. He won't talk to you. He's cold. Okay, that didn't fly. I bet there's husbands in here, and when you do something wrong, the punishment is severe. Did anybody get that? I purposely tried to stay above the radar on that one. Just, we don't realize how we walk around with grudges, how we walk around holding things against people, thinking they'll change if I'll be cruel. They'll change if I'll be mean. They'll change if I cut them off from my love. That's not good. That's a form of manipulation and intimidation, and it's not healthy for your children. When you learn to discipline the way the Bible talks about discipline, the wisdom of God is profound, saints, on how this works. Let me share some of those things with you in an overview. I've already told you there's at least 18 different passages in the book of Proverbs that either deal with chastisement, correction, or the rod. In Proverbs chapter 13, look at verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Everybody say betimes. Betimes means early. Early. It's literally talking about discipline starts at around 1.5, 2 years of age. Early, while they're young. Their most formative years are between 2 and 5, and they won't even remember anything from 5 and under. And that's why you've got to make them obedient during that time. You got to drill them and drill them. Honor, honor, obey, 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 obey. It's amazing what can happen in those first 5 years with a child and their future. And God knew that. So he says, listen, if you spare the rod, you hate your child. The world can't even get that right. They say, spare the rod and spoil the child. That's not in the Bible. The Bible says if we spare the rod, if we don't discipline our children, we hate them. Now see, it gets quiet and people get mad at you for that. People get upset if I say that. And yet they don't understand that hate here is not talking about an emotion. You can look at some people who don't discipline their children and say, you hate your kids. They'll get mad. Don't tell me I hate my kids. I love my kids. No, you hate them. And see, they don't understand what you're saying because they think of a feeling. Just like some of you are not going to make it in prosperity and true fruitfulness because you will not get it straight in your mind that love is not a feeling. Love is a person. God is love. Love is an action. Love as a person working in my life in an action affects my feelings, but my feelings may not be love and will confuse me. A lot of spouses say, I don't love my spouse anymore. Well, I know what that means, and I know what's fixing to happen now. What they're saying is, I'm having a problem in my emotions toward my spouse. You choose to love your spouse, and love is not an emotion. It's a choice. It's an action. It's a commitment. It's a covenant. All those kind of things. And yet some of you won't get that straight, and that's why you can't get this hate thing straight. When God says you hate your child, He's not talking about emotions. He's talking about a lack of an action. It's a form of hatred to bring a child into the world, not discipline it. It is a form. I don't care what you think. Don't email me. I'm not going to read them over this issue. It is a form of child abuse to bring a child into this world and not discipline that child. You hate that child. You hate it. That child doesn't have a prayer. That child is not going to function. That child is doomed, destined for a divorce, destined to be fired, destined to be on welfare, destined to not be able to keep a friendship, destined to not be able to relate to anybody. And that's a form of hatred because God's called us as parents in those formative years to discipline that child, train that child in the way he should go when he's old. He will not depart from it. Look at Proverbs chapter 29. I love my child too much to spank him. The Bible says you hate him. Praise the Lord. Man, I'm glad I didn't write this book. This stuff will get you killed. Did you know it? Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof. Reproof there means instruction. The rod and reproof giveth wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. If you leave your children to themselves, if you neglect them, they'll bring you to shame. But the rod and reproof bringeth wisdom. Notice that it's the two combined. Not the rod without teaching, just beating a child, abusing a child. That doesn't bring wisdom. That can bring resentment. But the rod and reproof. Notice it doesn't say, though, reproof without the rod. You can't reason with a 5-year-old kid. Amen. The timeout chair is not going to work. Amen. All this psychobabble is not working. The rod and reproof, not the rod without instruction, not instruction without the rod. The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction, not the rod of punishment, not the rod of anger, not the rod of child abuse, but the rod of correction drives it far from them. Foolishness is bound in your children's heart. I don't care what your gene pool is. I don't care how pure as the wind-driven snow you are. I don't care how holy you are. You brought a demon and a monster into this world. And it has foolishness in its heart. But the rod will drive it out. Boy, I could tell you some stories. I just don't want to tell on my children and embarrass them. And my children are under so much pressure. It's just horrible what they live under. And we have to be so careful. And I've talked to them and try not to embarrass them or put them on the spot. But, oh, I could tell you some stories. I've got one child, a female child, that is so melodramatic, and I don't know where she gets it. But, I mean, there have been moments before a spanking that are incredible. Me going over it, me driving that foolishness out of her heart. where, I mean, she just fall apart. I'm just never going to make it. I'm never going to get it, Dad. I just want to die. Jesus, just take me home. I think you're overreacting just a little bit.
No, I don't even know if I'm saved anymore. I'm probably going to go to hell.
No, you're not going to go to hell. I feel like I've been there, but you're not going to go to hell. But honey, foolishness is in your heart, and I got to get it out. And I'm fixing to put this Board of Education right there on your butt. And there's going to be a signal that goes to your brain. And wisdom is going to be released. And foolishness is going to leave. And whack! Boom, there it goes. Foolishness right out the door. It's gone. Praise the Lord. Now, it's going to circle the property, darling. And it's going to try to get back in your heart. And if it gets in your heart, we'll just have another session. It's in them all. There are no perfect kids. There are no automatically obedient and children that are going to honor. They have to be taught to honor, trained to honor, taught to obey, and trained to obey early. And the earlier you get it into their psyche and their heart, it is amazing the wisdom of God and how this works and how God taught us to train children. And you can sit there for hours with a 2-year-old and reason and quote Freud and every other idiot that's walked the planet, and they won't get it. But they will get this. Don't touch that. And we're not talking about them forgetting, and we're not talking about at the end of the day they've forgotten to. No, they look right at you and go. And you go, and I'm going to show you exactly how to do it before the service is over. Whop! Whop! I don't believe I'm going to touch that for a while. Incredible! Absolutely incredible. Go to Proverbs chapter 15. Well, look at here. I'm sorry. The rod and reproof gives wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. Look at verse 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto your soul. See, if you don't listen to me now, you're going to be tormented in your home. And there's not going to be peace in your home. There's going to be chaos and disorder. And you're going to get confused and you're going to have a breakdown. That's what's going to happen. Yeah. And yet if you discipline your children, correct your child while there is hope, it'll bring rest to your home. My children have been nothing but a delight to me, saints. And they're not any different than your children. They're nothing but a blessing. Our home is a home of rest and peace and joy. It's because of the power of discipline. It's because of the power of training and obedience of the Word of God and what got in their heart early that is keeping them now in their lives. Now go to Proverbs chapter 15 real quick. Proverbs chapter 15. These are just a few passages out of the 18, but look at Proverbs 15 verse 10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Shall die. It's grievous. It's not fun spanking a child. It's not fun grounding a child. It's not fun. See, I hope to be able to explain this. I'm clipping along pretty good, but I hope to get to the point where I show you that we're talking about 2 to 5, and those are the real formative years. Then from 5 to 10, hopefully a lot less spankings, a lot more reproof, instruction. Then by the time they hit 12, I mean, there's a point where you have to take the rod away. They're coming into adulthood, but now they should understand consequences. So grounding really is effective, and privileges being denied. I tell you, my girls, there was a point in their life where I said, well, you're not going to your friend's house this week because of that. No, beat me, spank me, just beat the devil out of my heart. But don't take the weekend trip away. You see what I'm saying? I mean, them not getting to see their friends, that's like the upper level of hell itself. And so if you've done your homework when they were little, they understand consequences. They understand sowing and reaping. They understand pain for your actions in rebellion. How do we have 18, 20-year-old kids? How do we have some of you? I love you. Everybody say, I love. Brother Dwayne. How do we have 40, 45-year-old people here making the decisions you're making, and I'm screaming at you going, don't you know what's fixing to happen to you? Can't you see the pain that's coming? Can't you see the death that's coming? No. This is what I want to do. This is what I want to do. I love them, or I've made up my mind. I'll be all right. And I'm sitting here going, how can you be that void of wisdom? Can't you see the death in that? No, because they never got a spanking. They've never felt pain for their actions. They've never experienced on the lower level, and as they're growing up, consequences, sowing and reaping, my decisions cause repercussions. So now you got a 40-year-old person that does the dumbest thing, and you have to sit there and watch their whole life just be destroyed right in front of you. Some of you, we can't let you do that. And that's why we're even taking the risk at times out of the pulpit to offend you and upset you, to wake you up and shake you up and go, come on, life is real. Church is important. I'm not just preaching to preach. I'm trying to help you. Where did I say go? I read it. Proverbs 15, correction is grievous. Notice it's correction again is grievous. We don't punish our children. Punishment is wrath. Anger, righteous retribution. Correction is redemptive. Correction is to restore, is to bring back. See, a child errs in dishonoring you. A child errs in obeying you. We're not trying to punish the child. We're trying to bring the child back into line with God's law, God's ways. You never will find in the Bible Jesus saying to people, depart ye into everlasting correction. Hell is not a place of correction. It's a place of punishment, a place of wrath, a place of righteous retribution for an ungodly life, an ungodly life. So see, I don't punish my children, I correct them. Correction has love. Correction cares about the person and tries to bring the person back in line and in order. So I want you to understand that. Go to Hebrews real quick, chapter 12. Another New Testament passage on chastening. Discipline. Had a sweet lady get mad at me one time. Said, I can't believe I come to a church that's a grace church and a church of love. And you're preaching the law. Preaching the law. And talking about a spanking and discipline. Man, I hated to have to tell her that, no, darling. Under the law... If your child cursed you, you were to stone your child. If your child slapped you, if your child hit you, your child was to be stoned. If your child at the age of 13 disobeyed you, rebelled, that was as the sin of witchcraft, and they were to be stoned. I'm not preaching the law, because we still have kids around here, amen? If I was preaching the law, we'd kill them. How many of you know a spanking is mercy? Amen? Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. Your children have been redeemed from the curse associated with the law, but not redeemed from the wisdom and principles of God. It is wisdom to discipline them, not law. You're under law and operating in law when you discipline in anger, wrath, and punish them. But when you discipline them, no, you're loving them. Now, I'm running out of time. That disappoints me. But Hebrews chapter 12, I don't know if I can read this and get done or not now. I hate that. Hebrews chapter 12, I'll have to share that because I've only got a few more minutes and some of you won't come back. I understand that. We lose people every time I share this, and that's okay. But I don't want you to leave misunderstanding me. I don't want you to leave and go out and do what most of you do. Say I said something I didn't say. Say I'm preaching something I'm really not preaching. I want you to know at least what you're talking about and are mad about. I'm not talking about jerking a child up and just swatting it with your hand. You should never strike your child with your hand. Your hand is connected to you and your person. Your hand should always be loving and caring and nurturing and hugging and patting and blessing and provisions. And that's why God said rod. He said use the rod because that separates me from the rod. And my little children understood the difference between the rod and me. That this issue is between you and the rod, darling. This is your choice. I'm an independent witness here. You do that, you get that. You do what's right, hey, everything's cool. What's your decision? And so they make a bad decision, you take the rod, whack. You should never hit a child, spank a child, With any more than one? At most two licks. It doesn't take beating and just unmercifully in anger abusing a child. We're talking about one swat. We're talking about two swats here. We're talking about a board or a rod. Literally it says rod. I've always used the board. If you spanked your child with a belt, I'm not condemning you. I just simply don't teach that. And I think that's, you got to be careful because a belt can wrap around them and hurt them. And you don't want to hurt them. That's not the purpose either. And bruise them. My grandma was full-blooded Indian. And they did things different back then. Yeah, my dad was the 10th of 10 children, and they didn't have a dad at home. He left home when my dad was born. So my Indian grandma raised my dad, and I'm telling you what, she was a disciplinarian. When he would do something wrong, she'd say, "Jimmy, go get a switch." And he'd run out there, and he'd have to cut a switch off the peach tree, trim it, bring it back, and she would whip him on his legs till he bled. Now that'll cause you to go to jail. I don't recommend that. I'm not teaching that. I love my grandma, and I'm glad she beat my dad. Some things are priceless in life. But I remember we'd go to Christmas and go to Georgia for Christmas. She lived in Omega, Georgia, and we'd go to Omega, Georgia for Christmas, and one of us kids do something wrong, and dad'd say, "You fixing to get a whipping," and grandma would go, "Now, Jimmy." I mean, totally different. "Jimmy, get a switch." Now, she's old. "Jimmy, don't spank those children. Those are precious children." I'll never forget it. My dad looked at my grandma one time and said, "Who are you? Where's my mom?" Things change when you get older. Amen. I don't think you should switch them. I think you have to be careful with the belt. A board is just right. And it's not very hard. And here's how you do it. I'm not talking about, again, beating a child. I'm not talking about jerking them up by the arm. I'm not talking about spanking them for spilling their milk. I'm not talking about in anger. I'm not talking about for forgetfulness or for just being kids. Kids are kids and need to be allowed to be kids. I'm talking about they disrespected you. They dishonored you. They knew they disrespected you. They dishonored you. First thing you do is make it clear what you're getting a spanking for. Here's what you did. Do you understand? Number two, you sit down in a chair, lay them over your lap. You put your arm right here, put their legs right there, put this leg over that, put your arm right around underneath their armpit right there, bend them over. They ain't going nowhere, darling. And whap! That's how you do it. Next week, there will be no children's church. We will have an illustrative sermon. That's how you do it. Now, you can go to jail for bruising a child. You can go to jail for child abuse, so you better listen to me. We can raise monsters if we don't discipline them. We got to get a balance on this. We have to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. After you've spanked them, you've told them what they're getting spanked for, whap, you spank them, listen, you pray for them now. Thank you, Father, for forgiveness. Thank you for your love. Thank you that this is over. Thank you that it's behind us. We've learned, and now we play. We pray, we play. That child will learn how to receive its forgiveness. How? That when you do something wrong, there is a price to pay. There are consequences, but they don't have to be eternal and forever. There's an end to them. We go on now. Life is good. I'm not mad. It's over. It is amazing when you love them like that, when you minister to them like that, what it can do for their life. It is powerful. Some of you, again, are sitting there, well, what's a spanking? How many of you know a spanking is a time-tested way of physical discipline that has proved effective for thousands of years? That's what one is, in case you didn't know. I promise you, if you don't abuse them, if you hug on them after that, and you love on them, see, they see real quick it's not about anger. My children learned real quick it's not about me being mad. It's not about me being upset. It's about I love you and I care about you. And it's an old saying, but it is true. It should hurt us more than it does hurt them. Now, you can't convince them of that. Sometimes, man, one swat, they fall in the floor, foam at the mouth, and they act like they're dying. They won't die. I don't care how loud they scream. They will not die. The Bible says you'll save their soul from hell. That's what it says. Does everybody understand? I didn't ask you, did you agree? I didn't ask if you're coming back. I'm asking you, do you understand what I just said? How many of you understood what I just said? Amen.